Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. The Lord really helped us out back in January. We didn't know we were going to get Atlanta's documents, her green card, and her visas and everything that she needed to re-enter the U.S. And her grandfather died, and so we went to the Immigration Naturalization Service, and they we got there about, it was about 8 o'clock. We thought we'll just have to stand in line a little while. Well, the line went all the way around the front of the building. So I said, Lynn, I think we need to get here a little bit earlier tomorrow morning. And, well, I let her out, and she jumped in the line, and I came back and said, let's try to come back tomorrow. So we got up, and we went there the next day, a little bit after 4 o'clock in the morning. And the line was already about halfway around the building. And so I counted, and there was about 70 in front of us. And I thought, well, at least we'll have a good place in line. We didn't know that those 70 were saving places for about 20 apiece. And when it got to be about 6:30, that line just jumped up to about 300. And we didn't know what we were going to do. And so we waited and waited and waited. And she went and sat in the car a while and rested. I went and sat in the car a while and rested. And finally, about 11 o'clock that next morning, we got up to the security guard where you had to go through the metal detector. And just as we got to the guard, he said, I'm sorry, folks, we just ran out of numbers. You have to come back tomorrow. He looked at us and he said, what's your situation? I said, we've had a death in the family. My wife's grandfather died. And we have to go back over there as soon as we can. And he said, you had a death in the family. He said, why didn't you come here at 6:30 this morning? You could have just jumped this whole line here. About that time, Elena started crying, and a little bit after that, I started crying. I didn't know what to do. But we got in line. He gave us a number, and we waited. And the security guard said, "Come on, go ahead and have lunch. Come after back, and we'll try to take care of you." And we got back, and finally, we got to talk to the lady that was there. And we said, "We've had a death in the family, and plus we're missionaries, and we need my wife." So we'd sent in all the applications and all the money and everything. And they never sent us anything back except the receipt. And she didn't have a Social Security card, a green card. She didn't have, really, her visa had run out, and we just needed some help. And so we waited in line, and finally a man came up. He was an Oriental-looking man, and I looked on his name tag, and his last name was Law, Mr. Law. And I looked at Lynn, and I said, I hope Mr. Law has got a little bit of grace for us because we sure need some. And we told him our situation. And he said, come back tomorrow. And I said, now you got to make sure that on her, he said, we're going to give you a multiple entry visa. And we just began to praise the Lord right there. And I said, but you're going to have to come back tomorrow and get it. I said, now there's some other things we need to take care of. We need a green card, and she didn't have a Social Security card, and her visa's run out. And said, come back in the morning, we'll take care of it. And he was trying to rush us on. So we came back the next morning and finally got up to the window to talk to him. He said, I'm going to give you a one-year multiple re-entry visa. See, her problem was not getting out. Her problem would be coming back in, because if you're an immigrant, you have an immigrant status. And you got to just follow all these rules real carefully, and or they won't let you back into the States legally. And I said, and Mr. Law looked at Lynn and said, he said, now how long are you going to be gone? We were both standing there. We were real nervous, and we wanted to say, you know, as long as we can. But we were concerned because we had read these rules that said you can only stay gone 30 days, and we didn't want to stay 2 months. They might deny our visa or something. And he kept saying, well, how long are you going to be gone? How long are you going to be gone? And finally, we said, well, as long as, she said, as long as you let us be gone. He said, well, that's not, he said, well, that's not good. You just got married. You don't want to go off and leave your husband for a long time. You just got married. And we looked at him and said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I said, did you read that application that we sent in? We're missionaries. We work in the Ukraine. We're trying to go over there. We're going to be going together. And he said, oh, okay, okay, okay. So finally he realized what was going on. And so he said, well, when are you coming back? She said, well, we're going to be gone as long as possible. As soon as my husband gets his visa. And he said, well, since you're going to be gone and you don't have your green card yet or your Social Security card or anything, we'll just go ahead and you usually have to wait like 2 years to get that. He said, well, we'll just, since you're going to be gone probably, we'll just go ahead and give you all that right now. And so I tell you what, we were two most happy people that day. You see, the Lord was taking care of us. Hallelujah. I was gonna, you know, Mr. Law was doing all this nice things for us, and I said, well, Lena, if you want her to, she'll sing for you. and he didn't. He was in a big hurry, so we were able to get away from there. But the Lord took care of us, and so we got to, her dad worked on getting me a visa for a family visa. Family-related visa. We got that, and we sent it in and just got it in today. And so we're thankful that we'll be going, and I have a six-month visa, and she's going to have the baby probably in October, so we don't know if we should have it there or have it here. If we have it there, maybe we can get our baby can get a dual citizenship. Because it's born there, but we can go to the American Embassy and register the birth there because we have authenticated our marriage license all the way up to the Ukraine Embassy. And so we don't know what the Lord exactly has in store for us, but we know it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Whatever he wants to do for us. So wanted just to share that with you, and so pray for us and think about us when we're gone, and we're so thankful. We're so happy, you know, we got married here and we got to come back here again after y'all's homecoming meeting, and then we wanted to come back one more time before we left the country, and so it's a good time of fellowship. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, when he had called the people unto him, his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You know, isn't that interesting about the gospel? It's really, really a paradox according to the way the world runs. The world says, get all you can put it in a can and sit on the can. But the Lord says, lose it all, or really that means in your heart, don't love things more than you love God. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with having things. Something wrong with things having us. But I'm not in the category of the prosperity preachers, but I do believe that Christian people that are serving the Lord and living right will be prosperous. We'll be prosperous because we're not spending our money on things that the Lord doesn't want us to do. I don't spend money on cigarettes and beer and whiskey and marijuana and cocaine and speed and rock and roll records and albums. They didn't have CDs in my day, but Don't spend any money on that. Don't go out gallivanting late at night and going to the honky tonks and the donkey honks and bar hopping and everything else like that. Wasting money, blowing money, getting ripped off in dope deals like I did. And you go to work sober, and you go to work and you do a good job, and you get promoted, and you'll just be prosperous, just living a good Christian life. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with having things. But if those things have you, you have a problem. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I've heard a lot of messages on that. That's a very key verse in the Bible. Popular, well-known verse. And if you're a preacher, don't feel bad about preaching well-known verses. The Lord inspires you to preach it. Go ahead and preach it. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus, when he was when he went into the desert and was tempted of the devil offered him the world, the kingdoms of this world. And it doesn't take much thinking to realize and recognize and surmise and come to the conclusion that the kingdoms of this world are not controlled by God to the extent of them being godly nations and the leaders for the most part being godly people. Kingdoms of this world are under the leadership of Lucifer, Satan. And so the world is offered to a man. The world is offered to a woman. The devil will offer you that if that's what it takes. But, some people, he gets off cheaply with some people. It doesn't take much to buy them off. What will it profit you? It won't profit you anything in the life to come. And that's really the one that matters in the long term. Now this life, the one we're living here, this is the one that matters now. It matters how we live our life. It matters who we live for. It matters who our leader is. It matters who controls our heart and our life. That really matters. It matters who's Lord over our life. It matters if Jesus is Lord of our life. Now, Jesus is Lord whether we accept Him as Lord or not. You know, there's a theology, accept Jesus as your Savior, and then accept later on, I made Him my Lord. You know, He's Lord whether you make Him Lord or not. He is Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what we need to do is just accept that and submit to that lordship. Submit to that leadership. Submit to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King and we are to be His subjects in the kingdom. And we're going to profit spiritually. We're going to profit in the life to come if we lose this world. If we let go of this world, if we let go of the things of this world and not let this world have any hold on our lives or any control on our lives. Occupy till He comes. And if the Lord has established you to be a lay person and not necessarily in the ministry per se, and He's established you in your job and your business and those things, the Lord has ordained that for your life. Be the best you can be in that position in life. But don't let that thing get a hold of your life, get a hold of your heart, get a hold of your soul, get a hold of your thinking till it becomes your God. Don't let it do that. If you do that, you're going to lose your soul. We're going to have to sell out. Sell out the things of this world concerning our lives, and we're going to profit when we inherit eternal life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have to give up some things in order to gain some things. Hallelujah. Now, the things that we give up, they don't have any comparison to the things that we're going to gain. There's no comparison to the feeling that I felt when I took those drugs and the feeling that I feel when I come to the house of God or when I get into my prayer closet and get in touch with God and the Holy Ghost comes by and touches my heart and touches my soul and lifts me up into the very heavens. There's no comparison. Hallelujah. Does it cost a dime, Brother Lou? Hallelujah. It's free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't have to buy those 12 packs and 24 packs anymore. I just lift up my hand and begin to praise and thank Jesus. Oh, and that feeling that comes over my soul. Hallelujah. It's higher than any high that could be produced by any chemical or any liquid substance. It's communion with the very God of heaven. And that's really what's most important. That's what matters most of all. Hallelujah. I'm glad I don't have to smoke marijuana anymore to try to feel normal so I can just go through the day. After you've been on drugs a while, you don't take them anymore to get high. You take them just to be normal, just so you can cope with life. Because your emotional threshold, you know, the first few times, you get way up there, but then you start building a resistance, and then it brings you down to where you've got to take drugs just to feel like normal people feel when they're not on drugs. But I'm glad I don't have to do that no more. Hallelujah. That's not the will of God to be involved in drugs and narcotics and all the things this world offers. There's other things the world offers that'll get you emotional highs and other kind of highs. But it's here today and gone tomorrow. As long as you got the money, they got the time. But when the money's gone, your friends are gone, so-called friends. But Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's profit. There's real profit in the kingdom of God. It's not reckoned like to what the world considers to be profit. It's much greater than that than you could ever realize. Hallelujah. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. I'm glad that Jesus does that for us. When we come to Him and we reach out to Him and we repent of our sins and we ask the Lord to take over our life, He'll take away all those things. I didn't have to go to the rehab clinics and the dry out clinics. I didn't have to go to NA or AA or any of those other things. I just went to Jesus and He delivered me and He set me free. Hallelujah. Dr. Jesus. Hallelujah. No psychologist or psychiatrist could ever figure out Rick Bradley. Some people say that about me right now. Nobody can figure you out, man. Well, they can't figure you out either if you're operating on God's program. Because you're going the exact opposite direction of the way the world's going. You're not traveling that way. You're going down the straight and narrow way that leads to life. They're going down the broad way that leads to destruction and all the flotsam and jetsam and garbage and trash and refuse of the world is floating downstream. Just jump in there and go the way they're going. Goes to the pit. Goes down to hell. But we get on this narrow way. Hallelujah. I can put my head on the pillow at night without any fear that if I died in sometime in the night that I would go to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not paranoid anymore about the police coming and breaking down my door and coming in and finding my drugs. Not paranoid anymore. not paranoid anymore about going to jail and going to prison over all the things that I used to be involved in. I'm not paranoid of some crazed drug freak coming along and killing me and robbing me or doing some kind of deal like that. Not worried about that anymore. Hallelujah. Because I'm free. Hallelujah. I tell you what, that's the prophet. That's the good prophet. Hallelujah. That's what we receive when we come to Jesus. We give up a lot of things, sure, but I don't need those things. I don't want those things. I've left those things, and I've got something far better. I've got the Word of God. I've got the Spirit of God. I've got redemption. I've got salvation. I've been regenerated. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I've been made a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. I've went from death unto life. Hallelujah. I've got more things in the world could ever dream or imagine they could receive if they just come to Jesus. It's not a dull, boring, dry, pitiful existence. We get in these services, we begin to worship, and the Lord blesses us and comes by. What can compare? What can compare to what we feel the Lord does for us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's profit. That's what we profit. Hallelujah. It's greater than what this world could ever offer. This world doesn't have anything to offer you that's greater than what the Lord offers you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to inherit the earth, Jehovah's Witnesses say. They might if they get born again. This thing's going to be cleansed. It's going to be renovated, if you will. But Jesus is going to give us something far better. He told that rich man, sell everything you've got, give it to the poor. Put your treasure in heaven, come and follow me. He didn't recognize that if he had done that, he would have been richer than any man in the world. But he saw those things that perish, that moss and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal. People have their money in the Ukraine in the banks, just like we got our money in the banks. I'm not trying to scare anybody. But in just a few days or just a few moments, inflation took their money. One interpreter I had, his parents had put money in the bank for him. He had the equivalent of $5,000. And in just a short time, that $5,000 was worth 5 cents. Lost. Now, if it had been put into the kingdom, it would have never been lost. Oh, Lord, help us. See, that profit would have been already put into his account, but it was lost. It was lost. Let's put it in so that we'll receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand this evening. It's time to pray and ask the Lord to help us in this service. I'm just looking forward to what the Lord wants to do for us. Hallelujah. Let's come and pray. Let's come and pray.